Christmas Eve, Father Greg did an excellent job in sharing the Christmas story in his homily and went back through and just talked about, here's how it was. This is what was going on. You know, what was going through the minds and the hearts of these people as they faced this. And I listened to that and I prayed about that during the course of the week and I thought, you know, what if we put a different spin on the story? What if the story was something like this? That President of the United States, Donald Trump, reformed the tax law and got it through the Congress. But what the change in the tax law meant is that you had to go back to your birthplace, your town of origin, to be fingerprinted. And you couldn't do it online. You had to show up in person and be fingerprinted and photographed so that everybody knew who you were so that you could get this tax reduction. And there was a guy named Joey and his wife Mary and his soon-to-be wife, and they lived in Covington, Kentucky. And Roy Moore had moved to Kentucky and got the age of consent dropped down to 14 for the marriage law. But they weren't yet married. He worked as a carpenter doing construction on homes. And so she was pregnant, and he was 26, and she was 14. And they got in the truck, and they left Covington, and they were originally from... He was born in Kansas, Ohio, and was a member of the Johnson family, but really hadn't been back there in quite a while. And he only learned this on Facebook. But so he was coming back to Kansas so that he could register there. And the point of registration and the fingerprinting and all was going to happen at the volunteer fire department. And that was under, of course, Matt Strasbaugh's leadership. And so they were on their way, and they weren't really sure how to get here. And they came through Fostoria, and they were headed to Kansas, and their truck broke down. And there was no Motel 6 in the area, and all of a sudden his wife is going into labor, and they see a light in distance, and they get to this house, and there's a barn, and he knows that, at least in Kentucky, if you go trespassing on someone's property, you'll probably be shot. So he sneaks into the barn with his wife, and she gives birth to a child in the barn, and there's a blanket there that these cats had been laying on, and they wrap the child in newspaper and this blanket, trying to keep them warm. Meanwhile, in the house, Jenny notices that there's a light on in the barn and sends Jim out to the barn to turn the light off. When he gets into the barn, he finds out that there is this guy and this woman, and they've had a baby. And so he rushes into the house and grabs her, and she comes out, and they leave their cell phones in the house. Meanwhile, they have this baby and this guy and this wife. So they bring them into the house, and Jenny's trying to call 911. But meanwhile, at the fire department, Matt has had a premonition, because he always thought Jenny was kind of an angel to him when he was growing up in CCD, and had a premonition that she was in some type of trouble, so he had already scrambled the EMS, and they're pulling into the yard, and there's this whole hoo-ha about these people that are in the barn, and where did they come from, and they're members of the Johnson family, and they're just trying to get to Kansas. What do you think about that story? Outside of the Roy Moore part, it's probably fairly doable, right? And I mean, that would be sort of the thing that you know, might garner some attention at the fire department. Say, geez, you never guess what we found out in Paul's barn. you know, this guy, and I mean, he's, you know, he's like 26, and he's got this 14-year-old wife, and they're not married, and the truck broke down, and they had this baby, and it was cold, and now the baby and the mother, and they're, you know, off at the hospital somewhere, and mercy outside of Tiffin, they managed to get them there, and the kid seems to be doing all right. I remind you, first reading today was, be nice to the father if his mind fails. So you got to ride with me on this one, right? I mean, it's kind of fun just to tell that story. But what's really the difference? I mean, there are a lot of young women that become pregnant that are not married, that end up in really horrible circumstances, that are very poor, and it's very cold. Maybe they don't have heat. And I mean, you know, how many of us, if you've got an electric car starter like I do, the first thing I did this morning was turn on the car starter, get that sucker warmed up. It's going to take about a half an hour. But when we read the Christmas story, it was very familiar to us, very comfortable to us, and we heard it and we listened to it, and then we went home and had dinner and opened presents. We hear this other story and we think, well, that's just a little bit far-fetched. But some of us, from our own family experience, say, no, it's not. No, it's not. What's the difference between Christianity and the other major religions of the world? One thing. Emmanuel. God with us. Judaism, they give you the law and the prophets, and here are the rules. And if you follow these rules, you're good to go. Islam, you want to know how to be a God-filled person, here's the Prophet Muhammad. Do what he did in the year 632. That's what you do. You do that. Buddhism and Hinduism, you know, more of a mystical approach to stuff. But Christianity says, Emmanuel, God with us. I would present to you that the difference between the two stories is that the one, we have learned to see that indeed God was with this young couple that gave birth to a baby in a stable in this town of Bethlehem 2017 plus or minus years ago. We have learned in faith to say Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, often in our own families, in our own story, we don't see God with us. We don't see Emmanuel. That's our challenge, isn't it? If we're celebrating the feast of the Holy Family, we can look at this experience of Jesus and his family and Mary and Joseph, and we can sanitize it. We can make it very clear and very clean and very safe, and we can take all the pain out of it. You guys familiar with the SAG Awards? Mm-hmm. SAG, Screen Actors Guild, right? Change that. SAG. S-A-G. How many of us, when it comes to our family, rather than having the Holy Family experience, are presented with the SAG Award? When it comes to our family, we feel sad. We don't feel peace. We don't feel excited. Somehow our expectations of who we should be as mothers or fathers, or who our children should be, or how our parents, our expectations aren't met. And we end up feeling very sad. S. A. We feel alienated. We have this Christmas experience, we have all these family members around and we're there, and somehow we have read the newspaper that we should feel really happy and guilty, or feel happy and glad, and yet we feel alienated. We feel distant. In the midst of our family, we feel profoundly alone. And G, we feel guilty. I don't know, if I had a nickel for every time I had someone say, well, how's your Christmas? And they say, oh, it's all right, I'm glad it's over. Have you heard that? Because often the only thing we get for Christmas is the SAG award. We feel sad, we feel alienated, and we feel guilty because it didn't work out the way that we had thought it would. After all was said and done, we didn't get the Red Ryder BB gun, right? We feel sad, alienated, and guilty at the time of year when we're told that it should be the most joyous time of year, a time of peace, a time of wonder, a time of care, of joy, of family. But I'm wondering, is that because we have failed with the eyes of faith to say, Emmanuel, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus? Because I can assure you, if the Lord is not the center of your family, and you do not see in faith the challenges that life brings before you personally and before your family, if you don't see Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us in that structure, then you will definitely feel sad, alienated, and guilty. Because it's difficult. Families are hard. Relationships are hard. Not having our expectations met in the midst of it is hard and is painful. But just the difference between these two stories, the one that Father Greg reflected on last week and the one that I reflected on this week, is the one we have learned customarily to see that God was there, and in the midst of that difficulty, God addressed it. In the other one, it's up for grabs, whether God is there or not. What is this old guy doing with this young girl? And why didn't they have enough money to make sure that they had gas? And what's he doing driving around the countryside anyway with this young woman that's pregnant? Where's her mother, for God's sake? See how we can get wrapped up in that? And it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in that in our own families. I do it all the time. So what's the focus? What's the focus? You have to say, Emmanuel, God with us, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, be the center of my life and the center of my family. That needs to be your prayer every day, especially those of you that are fathers, grandfathers. That needs to be your prayer, mothers and grandmothers. Lord, be the center of my life. Be the center of my family. At times you may feel sad. At times you may feel alienated. At times you may feel guilty. But with the Lord as the center of your life and your family, those will be places that you only visit. You don't need to live there. Some of us end up living there. And it breaks our hearts. My recommendation is to throw your lives on the mercy of God. Because that was the only difference in the two stories, is the one with the Holy Family, God was with them. God with us, Emmanuel. And the other one, maybe, well, clearly God was there, but was the consciousness of everyone around that situation aware of God's presence? My prayer for us as a community and a family into 2018 is God with us, Emmanuel. That whatever happens with us as we go forward into 2018, we know that God is with us. And may the Lord bless us in this new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.